Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
And on we go with Emma Straub and her new novel called This Time Tomorrow. Yes, that's the Kinks song, This Time Tomorrow, and it was the inspiration for the title of Emma Straub's new novel, which drops today. It's going to be hard not to engage in any spoilers in this conversation with Emma about This Time Tomorrow because the book is so good, and I really want to talk to her about the ending, but I won't. I will be disciplined so that you can enjoy the novel about a New Yorker named Alice, who on her 40th birthday gets a little drunk, goes to sleep, and wakes up in her 16-year-old body on her 16th birthday. After a bit of freaking out, Alice realizes she has the opportunity to change things, like maybe her job, maybe lay the groundwork to marry the handsome popular guy from high school, and perhaps most importantly, protect her father Leonard's health. You see, on Alice's 40th birthday, Leonard is close to death. On her 16th, he's a handsome, witty single dad, and their bond is lovely. One thing that makes this story unique from other time travel stories, and okay, this is kind of a spoiler, but it's a genius move by Emma, so I want to mention it, okay? If you don't want to hear this, plug your ears for 8 to 10 seconds. Here's Emma's move. While in most stories, time travelers get stuck and have to figure out some crazy solution, Alice learns how to go back and forth in time easily, so she has some agency, and she does it a lot. Okay, we're back. Set in around New York City in 1996, you'll recognize 20th century mainstays like the Upper West Side Jackson Hole, as well as 21st century cultural trappings like jockeying for a preschool slot, and the icons that span the years like the whale at the American Museum of Natural History. USA Today gave the novel 3.5 out of 4 stars, and the reviews have been great. This reviewer, Sarah Norris, puts it this way. This Time Tomorrow is a beguiling performance and one of the knockout reads of the summer. We are so happy to have friend of the show, Emma Straub. You know she owns Books Are Magic as well. Emma, congratulations on the book.
Thank you, Allison. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
So what was on your mind when you started writing this book sort of mid-pandemic?
Well, mostly what was on my mind was that I wanted to get out of my current reality. Perhaps you had that feeling too.
Yes. All of New York just nodded. Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, it was acutely because my father, who is the novelist Peter Straub, was very sick and spent several months in the hospital in that time period. He's okay. I want to say that up top. He's probably at home listening right now. But it was that, but it was also that, you know, like I'm a New York City kid. I'm a New York City person. I live in Brooklyn now, but I can see Manhattan from my window, but I couldn't go there. You know, mm-hmm. I couldn't be in the city that I love. And so I made this little portal for myself, and so I could go there with my characters every day and eat at Grace Papaya and Jackson Hole. And I could be in the whale room and I could go to all these places that I love so much.
Your character is turning 40 in this book. So what impact on your own turning 40? What impact did that have on your writing?
Yeah,
just simple as that.
Well, so I turned 40 in April of 2020.
Not so happy birthday. Happy birthday.
So it was a major bummer. So what I have decided is that I'm going to keep turning 40 until I have like a really spectacular birthday. Who knows when that'll be? It could be 45. It could be 50, whatever. I'm just sticking with 40 until that happens. And then I will happily catch up.
What do you think it is about the age of 16 and the age of 40 that are such inflection points?
Well, you know, I mean, for me, you know, I think like 16, for me, 16 will always feel enormous because of Molly Ringwald. Mm-hmm. Like it just feels adult in this teenage adult way. Like it feels momentous. And 40 also just like, it's a number by which you're supposed to have figured things out. And I think that, you know, that might've been true, in a different way before 20 years ago, maybe. But it's not that way now. And so many people who are my age are still figuring out what they want to do, who they want to be. And so they felt like good numbers to play with in the book.
So when we meet Alice, how does she make her choices?
I think, Alice, you know, she's a native New Yorker. She works at the school that she went to on the Upper West Side, which is an imaginary, it's a fictional school, but I placed it on the block that I grew up on. So I know it well. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, she's kind of floating. Like she's floating through her life. You know, things are happening to her more than she's really choosing them. And I think that's what the time travel part of the book is really able to help her start to do, to make some choices.
If I looked at Alice's Spotify playlist today, what would be on it?
Probably nothing that came out after like the year 2000, I'm going to guess. I made a playlist for this and it was like, you know, some classic Mariah Carey, some En Vogue, mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you remember MTV in the 90s, like that was, it's everything that is playing inside my head mm-hmm. all the time. So yeah, I would say some like classic, 90s R&B. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, I mean, maybe some Liz Phair, like maybe she would go as far as Liz Phair, but that's about it.
My guest is Emma Straub. Her book is called This Time Tomorrow. My favorite headline about the book so far was a piece from EW, and it was a couple months back, and it was like, surprise, Emma Straub wrote a novel about time travel. Did you know time travel was something that you always wanted to write about, or was that an outgrowth of the pandemic?
Yeah, no, I never, ever, ever... Sorry, that's my doorbell ringing. I'm going to ignore it because we're live on the radio. I never expected to write a time travel book. Absolutely not. I was quite happy with my, you know, realist fiction. But this just sort of, it bubbled up and it was such a fun way for me to interact with these characters that I couldn't resist. And once I got over sort of the fear of doing it wrong, I had a pep talk from one of my dad's friends who sort of knows everything about science fiction. And he told me that I could do it as long as I followed my own rules. Because rules are very important in time mm-hmm. travel. And so I took that and I thought, okay, so I just have to solve time travel this one way. not for everybody, not in all those other time travel multiverses, whatever. But just for me, just for this book. And once I had my rules in place, I felt confident, and really just let myself go wild.
So Alice, you know, she's not really freaked out about being 40, but she has some feelings about it. What is she experiencing?
Well, I think she's experiencing what a lot of us experience when we turn 40, no matter how many times we turn 40, which is a sense of like, this is it? Mm-hmm. This is my actual life. You know, like it's not that she's not miserable, you know, she's not tortured, but she's also not like, I don't know, on a like yacht somewhere with like Beyonce and Jay-Z. Not that that's what she imagined, but I think that like, it's not some like fantasy adult world. And I think that happens to a lot of us where we look around and we realize, oh, this is actually like really like the meat of my life that I'm inside right now. and I better figure out if this is what I want. You know, I guess this is why people have midlife crises.
She's super close with her dad. Her mom has left. Her mom just goes. And I thought that was interesting that the mom was so decisive and made this really decisive choice in her life. I wonder how that fit into the story.
Yeah. I mean, I knew, you know, it's funny. Part of it is that, you know, this book is so much about and inspired by me and my dad. But I also have a mother who I'm very close to and a brother, you know, I have a whole family and a husband and children and all that. And I just wanted to strip it down for Alice and Leonard. I wanted to take everything else away. So I dispatched her mother as quickly and decisively as I could. And also if you're paying extremely close attention, you may notice that Alice's mother, there's a potential that she too has discovered things.
The dad, Leonard Stern, is famous for writing books about two time traveling kids, the Time Brothers. I just love that. It's like, remind me of Wildcrats. Those two guys. Yeah. Before we go any further, Leonard Stern is also the name of a kabillionaire. Like the NYU School of Business is named after Leonard Stern. He's like at $62.2 billion, according to Forbes. Did you know that?
No. That shows you how much I pay attention to billionaires. Billionaires, never heard of them. No, but you know, I'm sure there are a lot of Lenny Sterns out there. Like, there are a lot of Lenny Sterns. That's not the one I was thinking about.
Alice is Alice in Wonderland? That was my other?
Yes. Well, yes, yes. Well, yes.
All right. So what's unique about their relationship, Alice and Leonard Stern, not the billionaire?
Alice and Leonard are I think what's really nice about their relationship is that they're friends and that they are really good companions to each other. You know, I think he's not like the world's greatest dad, you know, like he definitely never like played catch with Alice or like taught her to eat vegetables or those kinds of things. But I think he's a wonderful dad because he's always really paid attention to her and loved her for who she is. And I think that's pretty special.
The name of the book is This Time Tomorrow. I'm speaking with its author, Emma Straub. So New Yorkers are going to especially love the book, especially those of us who were kicking around New York in the 1990s, because she wakes up in her 16-year-old body with her 40-year-old brain. It's just hilarious that she wants to Google everything. And she says to her best friend, she explains Google to her then 16-year-old best friend, who's like, does anybody ever do homework then? If you get all the answers? Such a great line. What did you actually realize about how the internet has changed the way we process things? Because there are no cell phones or internet in this part of the book.
Oh, man. It just like, I mean, it makes the 90s, it made the 90s sound like Walden Pond. You know, I mean, it made me just long for the days when I was a teenager and like, I would carry around notebooks and diaries, and I wrote all the time. I wrote poems every day. I just wrote constantly. I also was a little teenage chain smoker, and both of those things are because I was like an anxious person, as I still am. And I needed something to do with my hands. You know, thank God I didn't have a cell phone. I mean, it makes me want to like throw my phone in the Hudson River and like never look back.
Was there any specific thing about New York in the 90s you knew you wanted to capture? Any specific location that just had to be in the book?
Oh, yeah. Oh, so many, so many. I mean, the beautiful part of research, if you can call it that, for this book was just texting all of my friends from childhood and not from high school and being like, okay, so wait, what will I kick myself for not including, you know? To me, it was like all about like the total sense memories of like an H&H bagel, like a hot H&H bagel, just the smell of it. Like you could even just like walk by and feel satisfied in a certain way. Like a hot H&H bagel, Gray's papaya, thank God, still there. And like being inside, I mean, you know, being in diners with my friends, eating grilled cheese and French fries and drinking coffee. And then like, you know, the whale room at the Museum of Natural History, like I could kick myself for not getting vaccinated there because it's like, that is my favorite room. That's my favorite room in the world. It's my favorite room in the world. I have a tattoo of the whale.
You right sure on
my, I sure do. That, and thank God that's the way it is too. You know, so it was like, I mean, I miss the hamburgers at Jackson Hole. There are a lot of things I miss, but you know, there's a lot of beautiful, beautiful, timeless New York City that we've still got.
How does going back to being 16 help 40-year-old Alice understand what she wants in life?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, I think what it does is that it helps her appreciate what she's got. You know, it helps her, you know, she's able to go back and to talk to her best friend, which I think is a very natural thing to do. I think if I woke up in my 16-year-old body, the first thing I would do would be like call my best friend and be like, okay, so this is what's happening. and you know, she still has that person in her life when she's 40 and she appreciates that. And really she sees her dad, you know, this young, vibrant, healthy version of her dad. And I think that's all of that is just makes her more able to like slow down and look at what she's got now at 40 and appreciate it really.
So a lot of the action takes place on Palmender Walk, which is this little like strip up at 94th and 95th Street. I'll let you tell me what it was.
Yeah. So,
I can give a long explanation, but I know it's gonna be too long.
Well, right. But I mean, what I love about Palmender Walk is that it's perfect. It was perfect for my purposes for so many reasons. Because, okay, so number one, it's this secret hidden place on the Upper West Side that unless you like go to Symphony Space all the time or, you know, live on 94th Street, you probably have never seen it before. But also it was built to look like this, there's a play, there's a book there. It was built in the 1920s, if I'm not mistaken, in order to look like this sort of fictional English village from this play and this novel. And so I just thought, okay, so it's already playing with the idea of fiction and reality. Plus it's hidden behind this little gate. And I just thought if there's a magic place, if there's a place on the Upper West Side where time travel is possible, it's there. It's there.
Yeah, it's 16 two-story houses facing a private walk with 9 three-story and two-story buildings facing onto the street. They've got like gables and they're sort of all embellished. And I know a lot of sort of weird coincidences have been happening to you on your book tour, right? So there's been a lot of magic.
Yeah, there has.
I can add to it now. Are you ready?
Okay, God.
All right,
am I ready?
The first page of this book takes place in a hospital. Time did not exist in the hospital. Like Las Vegas Casino, there were no clocks anywhere, and harsh fluorescent lights remained equally bright during the entire stretch of visiting hours. I read that line in a hospital with a family member with a heart issue.
Ugh.
My best friend lives on Palmender Walk.
No!
And has offered to have a book party for you. Just we can talk about that offline. And the school, my son goes to school on West, the school on that street.
No way.
That is in the
book. See, that's what I'm saying. Like,
weird. I was reading the book and I was like, this is just weird. Emma's in my life.
I mean, I am in your life. I thought that like it would be less awkward if we talked about it like live on the radio, you know? That's crazy.
Isn't that
crazy? And yet I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised. I don't know. My parents are both from Milwaukee, and they have long held a belief that everything can be traced back to Milwaukee. But I feel like that about the Upper West Side right now.
What do you think about this idea? You know, that all these books and movies, multiverses, Doctor Strange, Russian Doll. I really believe creative people tap into something before the rest of us civilians. What do you think people, writers like yourself, have tapped into about how we feel about being in one moment in time?
Yeah. Well, I think I know, I would say three or four other women novelists who are approximately my age who wrote time travel novels during the pandemic.
And
I can't speak to Doctor Strange. I think that has more to do with like the whatever happening is in the Leonard Stern billionaire category. Like, yes. That's like above my pay grade. But I do think that the last few years have been so discombobulating that I think we're all searching for a way to make it make sense and or just an exit route. You know, we all want to get out of a world that seems increasingly terrifying, dangerous, and lethal. I mean, you know, we all want out. And so, yeah, I mean, that's certainly my excuse for writing a time travel novel.
You can escape the moment because it will take you. I mean, you'll read it in two big gulps or maybe one big gulp. That's how I did it. The name of the book is This Time Tomorrow. It is by Emma Straub. Emma, thank you so much. And congratulations on the book. It was really terrific. I really loved it.
Thank you so much, Allison. And yeah, have your friend holler at me for a book club on Poe Manderwalk.
You got it.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.